Hey folks, welcome back to the Mañana Nomás podcast. I can't believe how many cool guests we've had recently. And by recently, you know, I moved to Kansas and we've just had a ton of great people join us since the move. This time we've got Michelle Kimbrough with us. Now, Michelle has a background in the corporate world and she used to live in California like me. I don't know if she promotes the hashtag escaping California as much as I do, but she's now in Montana. And we had a great, great conversation as we met through LinkedIn and networked through LinkedIn on a very similar outreach program through LinkedIn that we run. So with that, I would kind of like to turn it over to Michelle, let her introduce herself, share herself with you guys, and then we'll get into the details. Michelle, all yours. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, Kurt, thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited for being on your show, and it's a total blessing and an honor. So a little bit about me. Yeah, I came out of the corporate world. I did a stint. I'm something called a Lean Six Sigma Master Black Belt. Nobody has any idea what that is. So I used to tell them, I run around just doing karate all day long. Yeah, right. But actually what it is it's a methodology that helps with operational excellence, process improvement, streamlining your processes, scalability, capacity, strategic planning, all that other stuff. So it's actually a business model operating system on how you approach your business. So I've trained over 2,000 people in the methodology. I've got over 500 projects that I have coached through it. I love what I do because I am just wired to find problems and help people solve them. And I love teaching people how to fish so that they can do this, you know, without me or calling in one of the big five consulting firms and paying oodles of money. You know, they get the tools and they learn how to do it. So, outside of that, yes, I am a California refugee. I have been in Montana for 2.5 years now. I am up by Glacier National Park. I absolutely love it. It's beautiful. Tried the snow this morning, by the way. For fun, I love the garden. I love anything outside, hiking, fishing, backcountry stuff, skiing, cross-country skiing. I don't like downhill, snowshoeing. And I am also a offshore yacht racer. So I have over 10,000 nautical miles logged. I've done 2.5 trips across the Pacific. I've crewed all over Portugal and Greece, and I've done East Coast deliveries. And I have a story for every single one of them.
I had no idea, folks, that this was going to become the travel episode. This is amazing. So there's an island just off of Portugal that I read about in a bicycling magazine. And I was like, because I might not look it, but I'm an avid bicyclist. And it's like this really cool story. At the top of these two volcanic like mountains, there's two lakes and they're different colors. And the story is like a poor person fell in love with the princess and they loved each other and then they couldn't be together and they cried different colored tears, and that's what filled the lakes. And then I thought, I gotta go bicycle there. It just looks amazing.
What's the name of the island?
It would be great if I knew. Maybe that's what one of the fans of the show could write in a comment and tell us, you know, what the name of the island was. I can't remember.
There you go.
But what a cool, cool background. So there's not a whole lot of nautical miles to gather in Montana. So do you still get to get out and do some stuff, or you kind of landlocked now and living life there?
Well, I live about 0.5 mile from Flathead Lake, which is the largest fresh body of water this side of the Mississippi. There are 5 yacht clubs on the lake. They do beer can races, and then there's the Montana Cup that happens every year. It's a long distance race. Actually, I think they have about 3 or 4, maybe 5 long distance races over the summer. But our season is super, super short here. It's maybe, if you're lucky, 3 months of sailing. But I haven't got out. I had an opportunity to crew this summer on a boat, but I had some family issues that took priority. So next year.
Awesome. Awesome. What a cool thing to unfold on a podcast. What a neat concept. So the business, when we start talking about Six Sigma and lean operations and efficiencies, we can lose a lot of people sometimes in our terminologies. But like, I've talked to an awful lot of people in the business world that keep using this term continuous improvement. Is that a phrase that comes up in your coaching and your training and kind of consulting?
Absolutely, because that's the essence of it. You always want to be striving for continuous improvement, whether it be in your life or in your business. You know, you're always looking for those small wins of improvement every day. And we call that Kaizen. It's a fancy Japanese word that just means basically continuous improvement, little small incremental improvements every day. And as you know, Kurt, you know, our wins don't come all wrapped up in one big box and woohoo, you know, it's these small things that you do every day and they snowball and they build on top of each other every day. And that's the spirit of continuous improvement. So it's all pretty much, you know, tied in together with the tools and the systems and the methodologies.
You said Kaizen and I had a flashback to my years at Suzuki. So that was one of the words. Yeah. It was like you would submit a Kaizen report or something like that. And it could be something as simple as like improving the hiking trail around the office or, you know, how to submit a purchase order in a more efficient way, or just there was all these kinds of things that would come up, you know, that people would talk about as being a Kaizen submission. Right. So yeah, that is super cool. So I'm going to like, I don't want to blindside you with conversation that's awkward, right? But when I consult with customers, I run into this like weird phase. And it's like, gosh, I was just talking to Chris, the owner of Lifter LMS. And we were talking about, it's the long game. People need to focus more on the long game. People have like this, you know, immediate gratification, like disease. And it's like, no, you have to focus on the long game. And when I consult with, especially dealerships, I do a lot with marine dealerships and motorcycle dealerships, all this low hanging fruit when you first start, right? So there's all these giant leaps and bounds and wins, and it feels amazing. Like the dopamine is amazing. And then maybe it's a year long project and 6 months in, the wins and the gains seem less frequent or less impactful, but they're not. And then the owner or the person that you're, consulting with like loses the wind in their sails, and you have to remind them, like, let's go back to the snapshot at the beginning of the project and remember where you were and then celebrate those wins again and realize that we're still moving forward. You know, I might be talking out of my rear end. Am I making sense?
You might be talking out of your rear end now. Yeah. Just kidding. No, that does make a lot of sense. And, you know, we experience that in our own personal lives. I mean, just take a weight loss journey, right? So, you know, out of the gate, you know, you're following your diet, you're hydrating, taking all your supplements, you're exercising, and, you know, maybe you drop 5 or 10 pounds right off the bat. Well, then you're going to hit a wall, right? Because your body has to kind of reset. It's like, okay, yeah, we had all this energy, we did all this great stuff, but now we kind of plateaued. And so you got to step up your game a little bit. And I think business can be approached the same way. And, you know, unfortunately, I just did a post on LinkedIn about this. I think it's going to come out next week. But, you know, how everybody is looking for the quick win, the silver bullet, give me the blueprint, just tell me what to do, but they don't execute. And so I think there's a problem around execution and the mindset, right? So what mindset do you have to have when you hit those barriers and you start slowing down? Because it can't be all about the money anymore, because you're going to hit it, you know, just like in your weight loss journey, when you hit that plateau, do you give up or do you double down on yourself and keep moving forward? And I always go back to the weight loss example, because I don't know any person that hasn't tried to lose weight or gain weight or put on muscle or what. So it's a very relatable concept, and business is the same. So, you know, you have to, you know, that's a great exercise that you do with your clients, you know, go back and look at your wins, because sometimes we get so stuck in this loop of, you know, trying to move forward and trying to make money and trying to grow and trying to scale that we forget where we came from and the things that we've done. And I think it's important to remember those, not only as a founder or a leader, but the organization as a whole needs to celebrate that. And I'm a big one, and that's a big you know, part of Lean Six Sigma is, you know, respecting people and celebrating, because those are accomplishments that should be addressed and celebrated every day. They're huge wins and they snowball, right? So those little wins start adding up and adding up and adding up. But yeah, no, that's a great comment that you made, because we do get stuck, you know, and I'm really big on helping leaders, and whether it be executives or founders or entrepreneurs, whatever they come to me as, you know, helping them work through that mindset, because it's resilience, but then it's also, you know, you don't give a shit and you're just moving forward. Right. Yeah. So, huge. How do you handle it?
Well, the mindset thing is, it's a real obstacle, but it's fake, right? It's not tangible. You don't put your hand on it and juggle it, right? But it's something you have to address. We just had Anil Gupta on the show just last week. Like, I can't believe how many good guests we've had in such a short amount of time. But we had Anil Gupta on, and he's a WordPress person. He's an agency person like me. But his customers are like, he's at PepsiCo, you know, like, okay, that's a different ballpark. I think what I said to him was, you know, we're not fishing the pond anymore. Like, you're in the ocean, you know, you're fishing for big stuff. And he was like, yeah, but we're doing the same things. And he kind of had that conversation about, it's kind of the same things, just different audience, different scale, different, you know, and it's a mindset game. When I was in racing, I raced motorcycles for like 20 years. And then when I got out, I tried to like sell accessories in the racing game. And one of the people I worked with was Carl Fogarty in the Fogarty racing team in World Superbike. And it was, I'll never forget this, Michelle. This is like one of those stories. This is the one that told me never to pre-qualify a customer with my own wallet. Mm. I needed to borrow. It was like, people are going to laugh that listen to the show, but I was nervous. I had to borrow like $30,000 in product to go represent the team at World Superbike in Monterey, right? So they came to America, and this was my chance to get my company, my booth in front of the audience in America, right? But I didn't have the money. I had to borrow product. And Petronas was the sponsor of the race team. So the people at Carl Fogarty's race team, they said, hey, Kurt, no big deal. We're going to do a conference call with the Petronas company next week. And you'll just come to that call, tell them what you need. And, you know, I'm sure it won't be a problem. Don't worry about it. So, of course, I didn't sleep for three nights, because, like, what am I going to do talking to a bunch of executives from the Petronas oil company? This is crazy. And, I'm some dude working out of my garage. And at the time, we lived in Colorado. So we get on the call. I'm scared to death. And everyone talks first, and they go, you know, Carl Fogarty's going to go next. And Carl gets on the call and he tells these guys, hey, how you doing? Of course, he's got the British accent, so he sounds smart. But he's like, hey, you know, we're going to the next stage of development. I'm going to need another $50 million, blah, 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 blah. And they go, no problem. Just submit the paperwork. We'll do the transfer, Carl. Same as always. Everything's great. And I'm in shock, because he just said $50 million and nobody sneezed. And so then they got to, oh, yeah, Kurt's on the call. And then I felt like a moron, because I was like, I need $30,000 in backpacks. And they were like, yeah, whatever, dude, just send us your shopping list and a delivery location, and we'll have it delivered. Don't worry about it. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. You can never, never talk to customers or vendors or anyone. Numbers are numbers. Numbers don't lie. They are what they are. And it doesn't matter whose wallet you're shopping with. Someone's either going to say yes or no. And that's that mindset.
Yeah, you know, and that's a great point, because when you're talking about your services that you offer and pricing them, because I know a lot of people struggle with, oh, I think that it's too high, and there is no shortage of people that are willing to pay for your services. The only one that's standing in the way is you and your limiting mindset, period.
Yeah. Oh, that's such good stuff. And it doesn't, you know, the number is the number. It doesn't matter. You know, I just look at people now. It's weird. When I first started with the Power Sport Academy, you know, I was willing to train a dealer for $1,500 a year. Just get me in the door. Let me try. Let me show you what I can do, you know. And now, you know, it's $40,000 if you want to train your dealership, because the value's there. Like, we already know what the results are going to be. We know that when a company puts their people in the program and they apply themselves and they come to the monthly consulting, they're going to get the results. So it's like, this is how much it costs. It is what it is. You know, you're going to more than 10x your investment. So what's the problem anyway? And I think that that's really cool. Like when I talk to people that do Six Sigma and black belts and all those terminologies that you use, it's the same talk. You know, you're going to 10x the value to everybody that you work with.
Yeah.
What a cool deal.
Yeah. Hands down. And really, you know, not to get technical here, but, you know, black belts and their requirement is a minimum of $250,000 cost savings in a project that they have to get. Master black belts are $500,000. I'm used to running multi-million dollar cost savings a year for, you know, large organizations, but you know, that looks like a really big, scary number, you know, but you know, for our fees and the value that we bring to the table and the longevity of the systems that we can put in place, you know, for a company to realize, you know, a $3 million cost saving, you know, annual over annual. And oh, guess what? Now they have the capacity to grow so they can bring in more customers, make more widgets, see more clients, see more patients, whatever it is, you know, it's a win-win. And that drop in the bucket for what they pay you and I is very, very small. I mean, very small.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get to the part of the conversation. Everybody's probably at the edge of their chair now because we started to throw some big numbers around. How in the world, you know, especially you're out in Montana, how do you find these people? You know, you and I talked before and it was like, sometimes the strength really is in finding a company that doesn't realize, you know, what's on the table to save or hasn't recognized their own pain points yet. And I'm in a very similar position with some of the stuff that I market. So I'm really interested, like, what's the education process to get someone to recognize their pain point and then kind of convert them into a potential client?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think last time you and I spoke on the phone, I told you that I was in the process of reinventing my whole business. I've owned my consulting practice for over 10 years, and now I am digitizing it and putting it in the virtual space. So it's new. I've had to learn social media. I've had to learn marketing, you know, looking outside of areas that, you know, I've not had to do before. So it's been challenging. So I think, you know, to go back to your question and back to the basics, because that's what I tell myself, go back to the basics, what you know, right? Go back to my discipline of Lean Six Sigma and just the basics of business and defining your avatar, you know, who is your ideal customer and start there. Well, just about every business has some sort of pain in it. And I know that's kind of a broad brush, but I think once you understand, you know, which market, which niche you want to work in, then you can start crafting your message that speaks to them in the terms of, you know, are they tired? For me, you know, are you tired running around every day putting out fires in your business and you can't work on strategy or build your business? Are you feeling like you don't have the capacity or the room to build your business? I mean, those are all key pain points. And I know they're real because I came from the corporate world and I know what we did every day. And I've worked with, you know, executives who that's what they did all day. They ran around putting out fires and it was exhausting. And guess what? The fires didn't stop when they left at 6 o'clock at night. They continued through the evening, you know, when it's supposed to be their downtime and family time. And so, you know, people are feeling, you know, especially if you're a founder, you know, I started this thing and I had a vision for it, but now it's painful to work in every day. You know, I got this over here, I got to handle every day. My customers are complaining because it's taking too long to get product to them, or they're having to wait on the phone too long. You know, all these things, they can't get into an appointment. You know, in healthcare, they can't get a bed. You know, patients are stacked up in, you know, emergency room hallways for days, you know, which is unheard heard of, you know? And so I think just crafting that message and, you know, speaking to them through, you know, things like what you and I do, these podcasts and social media, and I do fireside chats with different people. You know, another person that I partnered with, he's a certified exit planner. And what I learned from him was the number one reason somebody walks away from a deal, from buying a business, and they leave it on the table is because there are no standard operating procedures in place. And if they go forward with the business, then essentially they're left with a startup and they have to do all of that. And let's be real. If you're buying a business, you want something turnkey, right? Because if you're buying it, you want to grow and scale it. You don't want to start from zero. And when the founder leaves or key employees leave, guess what? They don't have anything. So I try to look for strategic partnerships that we have some synergies between what we're doing and that we can leverage each other, you know, in that fashion. And that has always been some sort of a business model for me. That's how I got into, you know, healthcare startup IT companies. You know, there's been synergies between what I can bring to the table and what they need and what the health system needs or somebody else, you know. So I try to, that's how I am trying to get my customers. But it's different in the digital world because I'm used to, you know, multi-year contracts where I'm on site. And So it's a different space. It's a different space for me here, but I'm excited about it because I've learned so much. So it's just a matter of defining that, crafting that message, and constantly speaking to them, I think.
I love that I was able to get you on a tear there, right there. And you had a couple of things you mentioned. So I want to go back. You said that you were talking to someone that helps with exit strategies. And one of the reasons that people disappear from the bargaining table or from the purchase table or from, you know, the acquisition table is a lack of processes. I love that you bring that up. So many people that are out there, entrepreneurs, startups, real businesses, I consult with a whole crew of dealerships now, and one of their pieces of homework is you need to submit like a graphical, you know, flow chart looking process map for all of your major departments. You know, sales needs a process map, service needs a process map, parts needs a process map. And it's so important that people in your business understand what their role, their position, and their duties are. And I just love that you just brought that up like that, because how many of us are allowing our business to manage us day to day instead of us managing that business? And that to me is that pain point. That's that putting out the fires, that never seeming to have time to do anything, you know, showing people that if you have a routine for your day, if you set things to a process and you have a routine for your day and you begin to manage your business instead of your business managing you, all that time just seems to magically appear, you know, and then you can think about expansion and growth and hiring the right people and doing things proactively instead of getting behind.
Yeah. And so the reality is if you're working in that environment, you don't have systems and processes in place that are repeatable, that everybody understands in your business, you can't scale.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to grow because one, I'll tell you right now, you don't have the capacity to grow, whether that be space, you don't have the space to grow, you don't have the manpower to grow, you don't have the headspace to grow. And if you have bad processes, even if they're not documented, you know, because what happens over time is, you know, a process will start out one way, but then everybody, if you don't have standard of work or standard, you know, operating procedures, everybody that touches that process or does that thing or provides that service or makes that widget, they start making up their own process that works for them. And now you've got 20 people doing the same process 20 different ways. And we call that variability. And guess what? Your customer is the one that feels that variability because Joe did it this way. Oh, but how come Mike did it this way? And it could be a very small variability. But again, going back to the snowball, it all adds up. And your customer is the one that feels that. And your customer should never feel that pain, especially if it's something within your control. So when you get control of your your business and it's not unraveling and you're not running around, you know, trying to handle customer complaints and this broken, that broken, this is late and whatever, you know, you can then start focusing on strategy, because it's exhausting to run around and work like that every day. And I think just about anybody has had, if you've worked a day in your life, you've probably worked in a job where you're like, oh, I got to go do this thing again. And everybody has always said, oh, that, you know, I don't know why they do it that way. It doesn't work. And the you know, safety net answer
is, well, the way we've always done it.
It's the way we've always done it. That's right. You know, and nobody can tell you, well, how, like, where did it originate? Nobody knows. It just started that way. And so, you know, it's critical. It's critical. And, you know, like I said, you can't do anything else if your time is spent doing that, you know, running around trying to fix it, but you don't know what you're fixing. And a lot of times when people approach problem solving, it's a firefighting mode. It's very reactionary and they're treating the symptom. They're just trying to get the immediate relief. Going back to what we initially said in the beginning about how everybody wants something now. They don't want to spend the time and really, you know, get down to the root cause and cut it off so it's not happening anymore. They just keep putting Band-Aid over Band-Aid over Band-Aid. And then they get discouraged or burned out. Burnout is huge and a real thing.
So that brings us to kind of a technique question. And that would be, how do you help a client expose, you know, through root cause analysis, what their real problem is? Because I've noticed a lot of companies that we talk to, and there's a lot of fans that listen to the show. They think they know what the problem is, but it's not really the problem. The problem is usually something completely different. How do we isolate that?
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because it goes back to our gut, right? You know, well, I know that's what the problem is over there. And so you dump money, resources, whatever it is to go fix that problem. But guess what? That's a symptom of the problem. So from a technique or discipline standpoint, the first thing you want to do is visualize the process. And you can do that with a value stream map, which looks at first point of entry, all the processes in between to the exit of whatever it is, service, widget, whatever, information. And then each one of those has its own unique process where you can build a process map. So I think visualizing the process is huge, and getting out on the shop floor. I don't care if your shop floor is a sales desk with a sales team, if it's a manufacturing line, if it's a hospital, I don't care what it is. Get out of your office and go walk the process and stand there. You know, there are, Drucker used to go and stand in the middle of a manufacturing plant with Tochiono, and they would just stand there for hours and observe and watch. And then they would ask the questions, why are you doing it that way? And of course, you know, that's how we've always done it, you know, but they get asked, start asking those questions and teasing out, but you've got to go watch or go walk the process, because you learn so much. And there's, from what I found in all my experiences, there's a huge disconnect with executives, founders, leaders, because they're not out there engaging with the people doing the work. And so what they think the process is and what's actually happening is polar opposites. So definitely walking it, asking questions, finding out what's really going on, and then visualizing it. And when you visualize it through either a value stream map or a process map, you can start seeing, I have built process maps that are like 10, 15 feet long. I mean, they're crazy. And they have like all these back and forth and back and forth on them. And you start to see like, oh my gosh, like they got to go over to this building to get that part. It's taking that. Why are they doing that five times? You only need to touch it one time. So you start to see those things, and that can only happen. And that's the best place for somebody to start.
Yeah. It's so amazing to me when you actually take something apart and look at it, like something simple. Almost everyone listening to the show has had a car that's needed serviced. So we all know what it's like, a motorcycle, car, boat, it doesn't matter. When you go to the dealership, for some reason you get there and these businesses operate like this, busy, vacant, you know, feast or famine. And so you go to drop off your car, boat, motorcycle, whatever. And it seems like there's always a line of 8 or 10 people trying to drop off their boat, car, motorcycle. Like you just this, and then no one spends enough time with you. You don't feel like you got to express why you even brought the broken car in, right? And then you leave it there and you never hear back on time. You never know what's going on with your car. You're frustrated because no one will tell you what's going on. And then when you finally get the news, it's usually something you weren't expecting, right? Some kind of, you know, dollar amount that just seems crazy. And then they recommend a bunch of extra things and everybody gets angry with the process. When I coach these dealerships, I'm like, is your service drive like packed full at 8 o'clock in the morning? And they always say, yeah. I go, why is that? Oh, stupid customers. You know how they are. They all try and beat each other here. And it's like, no, they're here because you told them to come here. Yeah. And they're like, no, we didn't. I go, listen to your phone calls. Listen to what you tell people. People say, can I bring my car in for service? And you say, yes. And they say, when? You say, our first available appointment is Thursday. And someone says, when? You say, well, you can drop the car off at 10, but we open at 8. And so that tells everybody that if they're not there, you know, if they don't beat everybody, get there first in line, because they all think it's first come, first serve. And that's not how the shop runs, you know, but it's that root cause analysis. It's like, why is this happening? It's because you told them to, and they always deny it. They go, no, we don't. I go, just listen to your phone calls. Listen to what you say to people. You know, if you were the customer, how would you interpret that? And it's that I use the term reduce customer friction. Like my goal is always reduce the friction for the customer. And if we can do that, everything else kind of smooths out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great approach, because at the end of the day, if you don't have customers, you don't have a business.
Yeah.
So yeah. Everything that you design process system wise should be around that customer experience. You want to delight them and you definitely want to reduce the friction, but what's going to make you different than the dealership or the guy up the street is that customer experience, that wow experience. That's going to leave them saying, that was the best service I ever had. You know, they communicated with me. I knew all along the journey what was going on. I wasn't shocked by the price because they were telling me along, they were keeping me in the loop, you know, and it's that wow factor. And what happens when you have customers that are wowed? They go and tell their family members, they go and tell their neighbors, they go and tell their friends, you know? And so now you have a loyal customer base that's expanding, and you didn't have to do anything except tighten up your processes, right? Yep. Have standard work so everybody's doing the process the same way, so the customer experiences the same process every time. And you had a wow factor. You delighted them. You didn't have to spend millions of dollars in a marketing budget, you know, to do this. You didn't need to bring on 50 salespeople that you're now having to pay a base salary to, which cuts your bottom line. You just had to improve the experience. That's it. Simple.
The part that I want to drive home is the wow factor that you offer the customer, that lack of friction. The thing is, it's easier to do it that way. It ends up, it's hard work to get it there. It's hard work. I don't ever want to make anything sound like here's the easy button, click, click, but it's hard work to get it there. But once it's there, it is easier to operate at that level, high efficiency, high productivity, high profit, happy customers, better relationships, less employee turnover, because it's a better internal culture, right? To use one of your terms, I'm sure with the boat thing, right? That raising tide raises all ships, right? So everything gets better. And it's one of the hardest things to communicate to people is that it's not harder to operate at that level. It might be hard to get there, but it's not harder to operate at that level. It's actually easier once you get there, and it's so much better.
So it kind of goes back to choose your heart. Right?
Use your heart. Yeah. Pay now, pay later.
Yeah. So do you want to be functioning in a business that is chaotic, unraveling, you can't grow, customers are mad, employees are leaving, or would you rather put in the effort to get to a state of efficiency where you're operating with high performing teams, You know, you don't have to spend all the money to retrain people. Forget the marketing of even trying to hire. I mean, it's expensive. And that's what, another thing I like to tell business owners. They don't realize. They're like, we'll just hire somebody else. No, you have to pay for the ads. You have to pay for all of the pre-employment screenings. You have to pay for whatever tests. You know, then comes the learning curve. You have to onboard them. You know, in healthcare, it's about 2 times a nurse's salary, and they have to be proctored for months. So before that nurse can even be on their own with a patient load, it could be upwards of 6 months. It's costing the hospital $200,000, and turnover is huge in healthcare. So much waste around that. If you just did the right thing, right? So again, choose your heart. Do you want to function in this space over here where it's chaotic, or do you want to put in the work and the effort and engage people like you and I that can help get them to a state of efficiency where everybody's happy? And now you got customer loyalty, and then you have the capacity to scale and grow and take on more customers. So, you know, again, it's going back to the weight loss. It's hard losing weight. It's also hard being fat because there's diabetes, high blood pressure. So choose your heart.
Yeah. My mountain bike is expensive, but it would be more expensive to have diabetes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michelle, I want to thank you so much for coming to the show. You have been absolutely awesome, and I want to value your time, but everything we just talked about, I think, leads to something that we forgot to mention, and timing's good because you are, correct me if I'm wrong, you have a mastermind coming up. Is it at the end of the year or the beginning of the new year?
So I'm going to start the mastermind in January, and it's going to be focused around leaders, founders, entrepreneurs that are stuck in their life and their business. So we're going to focus on, you know, key elements such as purpose and physical well-being and mindset, and then how to optimize business. Because one thing that I have learned on my entrepreneurial journey, all of those are connected. Every single one of them are connected. And then I also have a 90-day coaching program where business owners can bring a unique problem to their business through my coaching program. And so I teach them all of the tools and systems that they need to become efficient. And then they get me as a coach to kind of help walk them through the process and see the waste and, you know, test some solutions and get them to a state of where they're good. So I've got those couple things going on. And I got a great newsletter that's free.
I heard about the newsletter. That's going to be linked in the bottom of our show notes. So what's the best way for someone to get a hold of you? I met you through LinkedIn. What's your preferred way?
LinkedIn is good. I basically live on LinkedIn. I am getting my YouTube channel up and going, so everything is linked there. The QR code that is showing, that's actually to my Linktree, so it has everything, every way that you would want to get a hold of me, how to schedule a call, my LinkedIn profile, my newsletter is on there. You can also email me, michelle@michellekimbrough.com. I love helping people, and I love having conversations around this stuff. And, you know, my goal is to help others be the best person that they can be and be the best business that they can be and be successful. So
it's super important messaging, and everybody needs to hear it. It's continuous improvement. It never stops, right?
Absolutely.
Perfect. Folks, thanks for listening to the Mañana No Más podcast. This has been Michelle Kimbrough. I'm super pleased that she was here. I hope you enjoyed this. And if you get a chance, like and share this with someone else you know in the business world. Thank you.